If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Today I want us to look at an episode here where we can see what a kingdom-minded mother looks like. Matthew chapter 20. And when you get there, if you would, let's stand in honor of God's word as we read it. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared by my Father." Father, I pray as we look at your word, you'd open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right, let me lay a little bit of foundation to this passage that we just read. There's several things going on here. Back in chapter 19, in verse 28, verse 27, Peter asked a question, or Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you, therefore, what shall we have?" So Peter posed a question. He said, "Look, we've left everything, Jesus, and we've chosen to follow you, so what reward are we going to get?" And so Jesus goes on, and he explains in verse 30 that many who are first will be last, and the last first. In verse 29, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And then Jesus teaches the parable of the landowner. In the parable of the landowner, I'm not going to read all of chapter 20 for sake of time, but the landowner agreed to pay a denarius. A denarius was a day's wage. And he agreed to pay that to some hired workers. Some were hired. Now, this is what you have to understand. Some were hired early in the day. Well, then the landowner went out later in the day and hired some later in the day. But at the end of the day, they all were paid what was agreed. They all received the same amount, a day's wage. Now, some of the people who were hired early were upset about that because they felt like they worked longer and they worked harder, so they should get a little bit more. And he says towards the end of the parable, "Look, I gave you what we agreed to. Why do you think you deserve more?" And the point is that God rewards believers. He will reward believers according to his will. And this passage is often preached and taught concerning those who have been saved a long time and those who have been saved a short time and work in the kingdom. And the point is that there's some who worked little who will receive much, and there's who worked much will receive little. But the point is God rewards believers according to his will and as he desires. Now, we come to this passage. Now, this parable was obviously on Miss Zebedee's mind when she made the request. I do want to point out in chapter 20, after Jesus told this parable, he told them in verse 17, "I'm going up to Jerusalem. Behold, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And on the third day he will rise again." Now, in comes Miss Zebedee in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asked something from him. She totally missed the whole point. Now, I want to go ahead and say that. She totally missed everything Jesus just said. He just said, "Look, my Father will reward according to his will, And look, guys, I'm telling you something. This is very serious. We are going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. And then she comes and asks him this selfish request. Would you let my two sons sit beside you in the kingdom? And you say, how in the world is she a kingdom-minded mother? Well, she was at least thinking about the kingdom. Now, James and John were her two sons. She thought that James and John worked hard. She thought they deserved a big reward for their kingdom work, and so she makes this request. And yes, it was a pretty selfish request. She suggested that her two sons were better than any disciples that would follow Christ from here on out. However, her request shows that she was at least a kingdom-minded mother. And I want to look at what we can glean from what she says. What does a kingdom-minded mother look like? Well, she obviously wanted her kids present in the kingdom of God. She was concerned about that. Now, a kingdom-minded mother is going to point her kids to Jesus. She's going to want her kids in the kingdom of God. And that starts with knowing Jesus Christ. So a kingdom-minded mother is going to point her kids to Jesus. She's going to pray regularly. She approached Jesus the same as a kingdom-minded mother today would. We need to approach the Father with our requests for our children. We need to pray for their protection, for their physical health. We need to pray ultimately for their spiritual health, that they will come to know Jesus Christ to be a part of the kingdom. We also need to pray for protection from temptation and sin. And folks, our kids today, they are being hit with things that I was not hit with. You know, I still talk like I'm young. But we all do that, don't we? Oh, not to some of them, I'm not. But they're being hit with things. It amazes me. My first year in youth ministry, I was in youth ministry back in 2002. And the way things have changed in just this short amount of time has blown my mind. The temptations, the drugs, the drinking, the partying, the different things. And yes, for the young people that are in here, I'll mention Snapchat. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It is a problem. And I wish you wouldn't even fool with it. But moving right along. A kingdom-minded mother is going to pray for the protection of her children from temptation and sin. She's going to pray for wisdom for herself, to raise her children correctly in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She's going to pray for her kids to have wisdom, to make good decisions when temptation comes their way, that they will stand on the truth that hopefully their mother has taught them and make good decisions. She's going to pray for their salvation, for her kids to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. She's going to teach biblical truth, holiness, purity, knowing right from wrong. Let me go back to purity for a minute. I'm going to tell you something. There's some things I see girls wearing now. My kids will not go out of the house looking like that. I'm just going to say it. Just like it is. I've got enough of my grandma in me. I'm going to say it just like it is. Some girls go out of the house and they look terrible. Amen?
Amen.
Mothers, we need to teach our daughters and our sons purity. We need to teach them holiness. We need to teach them biblical truth. They need to know right from wrong. And not necessarily what's popular with our culture today. They need to know right from wrong according to God's word. Period. A godly, kingdom-minded mother is going to model biblical truth and faith. Not only is she going to teach it, but her kids are going to see it in her. They're going to see it in her life. Now, kids can smell a fraud a mile away. I promise you that. They want to see this generation today. They want something genuine. They want to see something real inside each one of us. Our kids are not going to take Jesus Christ seriously if we don't. I promise you that. We need to strive as parents to be a model of Jesus Christ to our kids. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Now, I'm not there yet, but this is what Paul encouraged the Philippians to do. He said, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." I'm not there. I'm not confident enough to say that because I sin. I make mistakes. We all do. But our kids need to see that in us. They need to see Jesus Christ. They need to see us not just teaching the truth of God's word, they need to see us living the truth of God's word every day. Not just when we're at church either. They need to see it in the home. 24/7. I say this many times when we talk about worship, the first thing you think about is music. Worship is so much larger than music. Worship is a lifestyle. It's who we are. Worship means to declare God's worth. It's from an old English word that means to declare God's worth. When we do that, we need to do that with all of our lives, with our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. Jesus said, when he was asked what was the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's your whole person, not just one day a week. Worship is not a 15, 20 minute part of a worship service. It is who we are. And it is what we do 24/7. And our kids need to see that. A kingdom-minded mother is going to want her kids present in the kingdom. She's going to want them to know Jesus Christ. And she's going to take steps to bring them to Jesus Christ. A kingdom-minded mother will also want her kids to participate in the kingdom. She asked Jesus in verse 21. He said, "What do you wish?" She said, "I want my two sons to sit with you and help lead in the kingdom." She wanted her children involved in ministry and to participate in kingdom work. She was proud of her sons. She was excited about it, and it was a priority for her, for her sons to be rewarded justly. A kingdom-minded mother is going to want her kids involved in kingdom work. She's going to prioritize the kingdom of God in their lives. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things. Prior to this, it talks about food. We worry about so many things. We worry about food. We worry about clothes. We worry about the things of this world. But Jesus says, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. You'll have what you need. Not necessarily what we want, but we'll have what we need. Our kids are pushed and pulled in so many directions. And one of the big ones is sports. Sports are not bad. I love sports. I'm the biggest, probably one of the bigger sports fans in the room. But sports have their place when compared to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Do we plan our sports around God, or do we plan God around our sports? Kids are pushed to have a great education. They should have a great education. But that shouldn't take the place of Jesus Christ. We push them when they get out of school, or even when they finish college, we push them into their careers. Man, you need to go work. You need to live up the American dream. Work. Put up your white picket fence. Build your house. Live the American dream. So many times Jesus is left out of it. We tell them you need to be popular with the world. Do things and make a name for yourself. When my scripture tells me we need to make a name of Jesus to our communities. Because it's not all about us. If you know Jesus Christ, we need to proclaim Jesus Christ, period. It's not about us. Our kids need to be chasing Jesus first and foremost. Many of the problems we see in our kids and in this younger generation is because we've had them chasing the wrong things rather than chasing Jesus. A kingdom-minded mother is going to involve her kids in God's work and in the local church. Through corporate worship, as I mentioned earlier, responding to God's worth together with your brothers and sisters in Christ is so important. Peer pressure can be a good thing sometimes. Our kids need to grow with other students their age, other kids their age. Corporate worship is one of the ways we do that. Discipleship, growing spiritually together with their friends, with their enemies. I told them in Sunday school this morning, man, when you're inviting people to church, don't just talk to your friends, talk to your enemies. And they might just become your friends. Discipleship, growing spiritually together with people their age. She's going to involve them in fellowship, developing relationships, making good friends, good Christian friends their age. She's going to involve them in ministry, serving Jesus with kids their age. These things are important. A kingdom-minded mother is going to want to see her kids serve God right now. Too many times we take our children and we take our youth and we push them to the back and push ourselves to the front. When the Bible says clearly, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Folks, our kids are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. It's important we understand that. They're the church of today. They can serve today. They can serve now. Timothy was a young pastor. He was probably in his late teens when he began pastoring. And Paul told him this, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young or think negatively of you because of your age. But you focus on being the example to the adults in the room. Our kids can teach us a lot. I was, just this morning, I was trying to correct Daniela. She had done something this morning that she wasn't supposed to, and she looked at me and said, but Daddy, Jesus loves us. I said, honey, that's true. And Jesus also wants you to obey your father and mother. What do you say? I mean, what do you say when your little girl looks up? But Daddy, Jesus loves you. She prays sometimes too when I come in to correct her. So I don't know what to think about that. I don't know if I'm doing right or if I got to be careful with it. But, you know, sometimes our kids, God can use them to speak truth to our hard heads. They can do that. Kids need to serve the Lord now while they're young. I saw a survey, I can't remember the exact numbers, but the majority of children who come to Jesus Christ do it before age 16. Think about that. The majority of people that come to know Jesus come to know him prior to age 16. So let's think about where we're putting our energy and focus in this local church. If we want to see people come to know Jesus, we need to be reaching our young people and serving them with the gospel. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Serve Jesus while you're young. Because there will come a time when you can't. or when it's harder. Serve Jesus now, young people. Serve him now. A kingdom-minded mother is going to want that for her children. She's going to want them to participate in the kingdom. She's also going to want God's best provisions for her kids. Miss Zebedee wanted her sons to receive the best rewards. She wanted them seated in a place of honor right beside of Jesus. She was proud of their accomplishments, and though it, as I said earlier, though selfishly, she did ask Jesus for the best for her sons. A kingdom-minded mother is going to want the best. She knows that God's best is not found in this world. The Bible clearly tells us, 1 John 2:15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That kingdom-minded mother understands that truth, that he who does the will of God abides forever. That God's way is always the best way, and that God's best and perfect will is not found in the things of this world. She understands who the enemy is. She understands Satan's mission. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. She understands that is the enemy that is after her children. And she wants God's best for them, not what Satan is going to bring for them. She believes, she understands who the enemy is. She understands his mission, but she believes Jesus' promise. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, speaking of Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I came to undo everything that the enemy is trying to do. I am the alternative to a world of hurt, a world of pain, a world of shame. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant, full life. She teaches her kids that Jesus' way is best. Folks, I promise you that a full, abundant life is not things in the found of this, in the things of this world. Heaven and earth are passing, and a kingdom-minded mother is going to point her kids to Jesus. She's going to get them involved in the kingdom work, and she's going to ask for the best provisions for her kids. As we close this morning, let me ask you, are you praying for your kids, mothers and fathers? Are you praying regularly for your kids? The prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. We need to be a praying people. That's the first line of defense. We need to pray for our children. We need to be teaching them. Are you teaching your children the truths of God's word? But most importantly, are we modeling the truth of God's word to our children? They're going to smell a fake a mile away. Do they see real, genuine faith in you? I don't know how the Lord might have spoken to you this morning, but we need kingdom-minded parents who will point their kids to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. You say, I've realized for the first time, hey, God loves me. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Maybe you say this morning, you know, for the first time, I realize I've never surrendered my life to follow Jesus Christ. If I were to die right now, I don't know if I would go to heaven or not. Bible says you can know. These things, John said, these things have I written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have everlasting life. We can know our eternal destiny. Will you come this morning? I invite you to come. Maybe you'd like to unite with this church. I invite you to do that as the Lord leads. Let's pray. Father, I pray this during this time of invitation that we would be open and honest before you. Lord, through your Spirit, will you speak to our hearts and help us to respond to you in faith and obedience to what you call us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.